Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and iHeartRadio, Spotify. Big jump, big numbers on Spotify lately. Everybody seems to be listening to us there. But we're on every podcast catcher. It's the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And here is my co-host, everybody's favorite horror writer, Nicole Six.
Hey, Mark. How's everybody doing tonight?
Hi, Nicole. It's been a while since we taped the show. Have you missed it?
Yeah. I enjoy this. And I'll be honest, now I'm so stoked things are opening again because I really miss the feel when we were in the studio, the intimacy.
I know. I'll work on a studio. I don't think we're quite there yet, but hopefully by the end of the summer we'll have a studio. But if we had a studio, we wouldn't have this guest tonight. Even though she's from one state, she lives in Las Vegas, Nevada now. She was living in Ontario and LA area. And we've done shows together. I love her. She's one of the best. She's she's been on the Bill Cunningham show. She's been on the MC Search show. She's toured with Monique. She's worked with every comedian in the business. Apparently, Bruce tried to hit on her. All sorts of things. It's Ms. Arkansas.
Hey. Hello, 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 everybody. You left out that I interviewed you on my podcast.
We're getting to that. I was gonna. Oh, yes, you did. I was
gonna rush it, Dean.
Zooming through the pandemic was. Are you still doing that?
Yes, sir. I just went from doing it Monday through Saturday. Then I said Monday through Thursday. Now it's like it's whenever I want to.
Yeah, we've been doing the whatever we want as long as we get it in once a week kind of right. Thing here. Which is the other thing with the studio, you have to book the studio time, and then you're like. Okay, you can only be here Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and then it's amazing how many people we were able to get. So, and we'll get again. But yes, I think I was one of the first people you interviewed zooming through the pandemic, wasn't I?
Yes, sir. And I had a ball with you.
I listened back to that. It was great. It was weird. For some reason I said. I don't like to talk politics, and I talk politics for like 15 minutes, and you didn't stop me. But that was when the George Floyd thing was happening. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Let me get into our sponsors really quick, and then we're going to start the show. All sorts of stuff to talk about. Let me do it in reverse order, because I need some energy to keep up with Miss Arkansas and Nicole. And so I have the best energy drink right here, Raze Energy Drink, R-A-Z-E. This is, I just got this a couple weeks ago, a 12-pack of the Baja Lime that tastes just like Baja Blast from Taco Bell, except zero sugar, zero carbs, zero crash. Let me pop that open. And if you go on the show description on any of your podcast catchers or YouTube, you can get a case of this 15% off with our code. Delicious. You can't get it at 7-Elevens, grocery stores, but you can get it at gyms and GNCs. Those are opening up. Or you just get a case and get it from us. Also, if you're next time you're in LA, Miss Arkansas, I'm going to take you to a favorite restaurant. Doobie's Home Cooking.
Yes.
1253 Vine Street. You remember where the M Bar used to be on Fountain and Vine? Did you ever play a show there?
Yes, one time. Yes.
That parking lot has a restaurant. It's called Doobie's Home Cooking. The best vegan food you ever had. And I know you're making a face, but if you had this vegan food, you would not make a face. Because if I gave it to you, did not tell you it was vegan, you would say, that's delicious. The pulled pork, you wouldn't know the difference. The shrimp po' boys, you wouldn't know the difference. Chicken cordon bleu, how great was that? I just had it last time I was there. Bigger than Popeye's chicken, delicious. 1253 Vine Street on the corner of Fountain and Vine. And now you can eat in.
Yeah, it's true. We should go say hi to Phil. Like
I know that we were going to meet for dinner next week. We might just pop in there and say hi to Phil. Phil is a genius. Their nachos were listed as one of the 10 best nachos in LA, the only one without meat from the LA Weekly. Wow. And also we're sponsored by Audible. Go get an audiobook. You have everything from Shakespeare to Smut, and it's free. Just go to audibletrial.com/DMS. audibletrial.com/DMS. Not only do you get a free book and access to hundreds of Audible originals, you also have access to our podcast because we're on Audible now. So you can subscribe for free. You get a free book, free 30-day trial. You can cancel the next day. You can still keep subscribed to us. Keep the book and whatever book you want. I just got I got a 2-for-1. I got Martin Short's book and Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols wrote an autobiography. So I'm all set there. So audibletrial.com/DMS. I'm giving you something. Take it. 30-day trial, free book, free Audible original. Nicole, before we get started, do you have a trendy moment to this week?
Well, I can go with the one I was going with last week, but we didn't do it last week because we had such an action-packed show. We waited. Yeah. So there's a new thing out called The World According to Jeff Goldblum. So Jeff Goldblum takes you on a journey. And in the first episode, you go find out about shoes. And it's all about shoes, like the sneakers shoes specifically, and how they became trendy and all the stuff that goes into them. And it's just really nice to be led by Jeff Goldblum because he's, you know.
He's the sexiest man alive.
What was that?
He's the sexiest man alive. Miss Arkansas, do you think Jeff Goldblum is sexy?
He's pretty hot. And also he's married to an Olympic gymnast, so you know he's hot.
Yeah. Miss Arkansas, what do you think of Jeff Goldblum, the actor?
She just said he married, but I was thinking about letting him put some cream in my coffee.
Here's the funniest thing about Jeff Goldblum, and I'm going to let you finish where we could find that, and I definitely want to check that out. My mother, for some reason, can't believe that all these young women find Jeff Goldblum sexy. She doesn't find him sexy at all. She thinks he's a nerd. Totally not her type. Every other woman I know swoons over him, including some lesbians I know. They swoon over him. Unfortunately, the venue that he was doing his shows at and taking selfies with the women closed down this week, which is right down the street from my house in Los Feliz, but I'm sure he'll find another venue. Go on, Nicole. Let's hear more about Jeff Goldblum.
It's called The World According to Jeff Goldblum, and you can find it on the History Channel. I'm super bummed because Jeff Goldblum used to do a jazz show at Rockwell Stage and Table. That's what it was. And so now we can't see him anymore. I hope he moves the show to another venue.
I'm sure he will. He'll go to Largo or some other place. But it's a bummer because I used to a past guest, Beth Lapidus, put on the alternative comedy showcase at the Rockwell for a couple of years. And I used to go down there and I saw Julia Sweeney. I saw Moon Zappa. I saw Dana Gould. I saw Alec Mappa. Just tons of great comics on that show. And also our former guest, Savannah Pope, sang one night. And they had Shelby Lynn one night. It's great. So hopefully they find a venue as well. It sucks because it's been closed for a year because there's no, except for patio business. And it's too bad. But anyway. Miss Arkansas is here. Now, you're in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Now, things are just opening up in L.A. right now post-pandemic. How is it in Las Vegas?
Man, I don't think Vegas never closed.
I visited there last May. It closed for a little bit.
They wanted that money, so they started letting people come from summer everywhere. I remember back when we had like 8 cases of COVID. And then it went from 8 cases to 8,000, you know, it just kept going up because they was constantly letting people come from all around the world here.
Right. So have you been doing comedy out there?
Oh, yes. I just did a show last night with the ventriloquist William and Wilson. Amazing.
Wow.
And I the impersonator Michael Jackson, the one that has his residency out here in Las Vegas. That was my second time performing with him. And
oh, now, there's two of them now. There's the one at, is this the one at Stratosphere or is this the one at Mandalay Bay?
I think he at the Mandalay Bay. This the one that looked identical to him.
Okay, well, I'll have to. I'm thinking it's the one at Stratosphere, but where did you do a show with him?
We was actually at this banquet hall. It's a show that William and Wilson, the ventriloquist, put together. And that was the second time they done had me there. And the first time we was there, they had the Prince impersonator, too.
Right, I know
him. He went on it last night. They had people that was blowing horns and playing the violins. When I tell you, everyone were amazing.
Sounds like a great show.
That could have been put together and sold to Netflix.
I can imagine. Now, your comedy is it could be somewhat saucy at times. Was this like a family friendly show or anything, or anything goes?
Well, you know, I've been doing it 100 years, feel like it. But after doing it so many years and doing it in front of so many different people, you learn pretty much what to say, how to say, and when to say.
Right.
So that's how I work it. If I go in a place and it can be some elderly people in there cussing like drunk sailors, you know, that still don't make me want to disrespect them.
Right. Well, I tell when comedians come up to me for advice, and I have no idea why they would, I tell them, have a clean set and have a dirty set ready to go. And they don't have to be that different, but you have to, there's some rooms you can't curse, and there's some rooms you can't be clean.
Right.
Be honest. You have to have one.
Everybody know what's what. You know, if I go in a bar and everybody drinking and turned up, I let them have it.
Right.
You know, like last night when we was drawing to the end, the young man that I rode out there with, he want to be a comedian. So apparently he went and talked with the host and she gave him 5 minutes. And he got up there, and when I tell you, he thought he was Bernie Mac or somebody. Every cuss word was a big word, and oh, it was just terrible. And when he got done, instead of letting the host get the mic, I took the mic and I explained to him, you know, when you first start off with clean comedy, because you can always dirty that up, but it's so hard cleaning up dirty comedy.
Right. Right.
And I told him, I wish somebody had told me that over 30 years ago. I had to learn on my own.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, and the other thing is, and I've had people like, you know, it depends on the set, but I've had people like, I was in New York and I was doing all these rough Long Island gigs, and people were telling me, they're like, one of these guys like, I got a show, but I don't think you can do it. It was at an ice cream parlor. It was for families. I was like, I can do it. And I was the only one that didn't curse, and these families would come back to see me. It's just, you know, you got to have more tools in the toolbox, and you have to read the crowd.
Right.
That's the main thing.
And you know what I learned about my comedy? Shout out to this deacon at the church I belongs to. He said he went on YouTube and watched some of my comedy. He said, Miss Arkansas, all you got to do is remove the cursing. And I tried it, and it worked just the same. And I did some church shows, and a couple of them I couldn't tell there. But the majority of them I was able to tell there, and all I had to do was remove the cursing.
That's great. I'll have to consult my local deacon on some comedy advice. But so let me get back. Now, where were you born in Arkansas? Because I was trying to, I couldn't pronounce the city. And then you moved to another town. Like, I don't know these towns in Arkansas.
It's Blytheville, Arkansas.
Blytheville, Arkansas.
Yes, that's next door to Memphis, Tennessee. I always explain it like Memphis on one side and St. Louis, Missouri on the other side, or Missouri is between Memphis.
So it's like three states like coming together. Right. Is that why there's a West Memphis, Arkansas? Because there's a Memphis and a
right, and it's right there on the border of Arkansas and Tennessee.
Right, which is now famous for incarcerating three young white boys and almost sentencing them to death, and they finally got out. But yeah, and then you moved from there. You were another small town in Arkansas?
Well, no, actually, I moved from Arkansas and I moved to St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
And I lived there for 9 years. Then I left there and I moved to California. And I was in California for 12 years. 1 year I was in San Jose, California, in the Bay Area.
Right.
And then the other 11, I was in Southern California. And now I've been living in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is my third year. So, you
right.
know,
when kids get grown and gone. You told me on the move. I remember. I remember doing your show last year, and I had no idea you moved.
Yeah.
I was not consulted on this, Miss Arkansas.
But you know, when your children get grown and gone, you can really go anywhere around the world you wanna. You know, and right, long as you haven't did wrong by no one, man, you can stay anywhere.
Right, or if you never plan to procreate like Nicole and myself. But now, what was it like growing up in Arkansas?
Well, I was a little fast cookie.
You don't I say.
the little boys was chasing me and I was chasing them. But
well, nothing's changed. You got to see these comedians hitting on Miss Arkansas, Nicole.
Yeah.
Oh, I see it all the time. And then every time you go on a podcast with a guy, they're hitting on you. Yeah.
I'm not shocked.
They're beautiful. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you're just, every show I'm at, there's some comedian hitting on you. Not even more comedians than audience members hit on you, I would say.
Well, you know, far as the comedians, when they see that I'm not with that, and they realize that I'm older than I appear, then they start calling me they auntie and sister and all this stuff. And I can say at least 99% of them that know me respects me.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. And I'm not saying that anybody's crossed the line. I didn't say, you know.
I had a couple of them trying to come home. Let me go over your house and tell you a couple of jokes. No, I ain't joking once I get home.
I mean, you know, I don't think Louis C.K. jerked off in front of you, but who knows? I don't know. But it does happen,
you know, like say, for instance, all of them that I know pretty much respect me, but I have seen it with my own eyes how they disrespect other females.
Right. I think that's changing, though. I really think... I told Nicole this. I think the female is the future of comedy. I think, part of this cancel culture is not necessarily canceling things, but I think the culture is moving past sexism and misogyny. And if you can't tweak your act to figure that out, then you know why bother, you
right. know.
I think if Andrew Dice Clay started now, he would bomb. Unless he had different material. So I think in all arts, I mean, women have all the top hits. You know, sometimes they throw a rapper on, but they're the main attraction. Right. Women are directed the best movies, and I think women are really, I think even the men that are doing great comedy are doing it towards the women and trying to get their approval rather than the guys.
Well, you know, we really need you guys in our lives, but at the end of the day, women, we rules the world, because at the end of the day, it was a woman that made the man eat that apple and caused sin to come into the world. So he could have told her, no, you eat it. I ain't eat nothing. He could have bossed up, but he didn't boss up. So she was the boss.
I love the comedic timing when you said, eat that apple. That was great. Now, the only thing I don't know much about Arkansas, and I've driven through a couple times, but, you know, Bill Clinton, this is all I know about Arkansas. It's all Little Rock. It's Bill Clinton and that HBO documentary on the gangs banging in Little Rock. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Nicole, you got to see this. It's on YouTube.
Okay.
And how far were you from Little Rock?
It was like a 4-hour drive.
Okay, so I have
someone that's a regular driver. But okay. Me, I could get you there in like two hours and 45 minutes, no more than 3 hours.
All right, so kind of L.A. to San Francisco sort of thing.
Right.
Well, I guess this has nothing to do with your life, but you got to see this documentary. It's on YouTube now. It was on HBO in the 90s. Banging in Little Rock. It's a really gritty documentary about the streets of Little Rock with some real hardcore gangs.
Right.
But they juxtapose it with this white gang and their shenanigans, which are just ridiculous. So stupid. like all these white, all these white guys, you know, doing the yo-yo-yo voice and then beating each other down. And it's like the funniest thing you ever seen. But then they get back to the real gangs and you're like, oh, right. Man, this is horrific. So,
well, I wasn't in no gang, but I did end up getting in some trouble and ended up doing time in prison. And when I got out of prison, instead of becoming one of the worst criminals there is, I became one of the best comedians there is.
That's great. And now, because you've mentioned this on podcast, and I don't want to go any deeper than you want to go into it, but you were doing comedy prior to your incarceration. Is that correct?
No, I just always been a entertainer. A lot of people say they was a class clown. And what I know of a clown, you know, with the big nose and big feet and all that stuff, I can't see me being a clown. So I didn't say I was a class clown. I was an entertainer.
Right.
So I did like talent shows and different stuff like that. But I didn't really get serious with my comedy until I came out to California many years ago. And you know, a couple of my friends was like, you should say Miss Arkansas, because I could have been Miss St. Louis, Miss California, and now Miss Las Vegas. I probably started telling them I'm Miss All States, but they just kept calling me Miss Arkansas, so I stuck with that. And then, like I say, many, many, many years ago, shout out to Cookie Hall. She was on tour with Cat Williams, had her own show and stuff.
Right.
And one of the bad girls of comedy. She had a show in Moreno Valley at a place called Cheers. And she gave me 5 minutes. And when I saw how the crowd responded, I just kept going. But, you know, right. Then I ended up going home because my sister and this young lady was having a problem. And the problem ended up causing me to do time in prison because I took the law into my own hand.
Right. But now, and that's great that that Cookie did this. Now, this is something you were saying you were in, and I was curious about this because Nicole will tell you that Googling your name kind of causes a problem because you get all the like current Miss Arkansas from
Miss America pageant. Yeah, five white women, me, and Michael Jackson.
Why Michael Jackson? I heard this. Why Michael Jackson?
I don't know. I guess he used to go by Miss Arkansas. I don't know.
But did he have a song called Miss Arkansas?
I don't know, but he'll pop up.
Yeah, so it's like, it's a tricky name because, and I know you go by comedian Miss Arkansas, but I mean, if you Google Miss Arkansas, you're going to get like the pageant. Has the pageant ever contacted you and said you can't be Miss Arkansas?
No.
Like Miss America, Miss USA?
No, I guess because
Harvey, I have nobody.
I guess because I have a comedian in it, and okay. They can't tell me that no way because I was born and raised in Arkansas. You know, but
Steve Harvey
Different, like for instance, if I said beauty pageant Miss Arkansas or something like that, they could reach out to me. But right. You always have to change either the beginning or the last. You can't make it exactly like someone else.
Right. And I have to ask you, this is it's funny. I was saying that I don't know why people go to me for advice. I know why they go to you for advice, because you're very funny, you're very successful. Thanks. Let me ask you a question. This is just for me to you, because I told you on your show that sometimes when I have a big showcase, I'm not fully present on stage and I'm not as funny as I should be. Mm-hmm. And yet you seem to win every contest you enter. You've won so many comedy contests. What's the secret of just ignoring the stakes and being yourself and just really giving your best and winning the contest? Do you have any advice for me?
Well, sometimes, Mark, a lot of people overthink. You know, they freak out. They see a lot of people. They freak out not knowing these people is different, but at the same time, they ain't different because you done did many other shows. You just got to picture all of them together at one time, you know? And me personally, I don't know who all is not a believer in God, but I am a firm believer. And me personally, I just take out the time, and because like some comedians, they got to do jumping jacks, run around the block. They got to do, I done seen them do all kind of weird things before they took the mic. But me personally, I can just sit there and say me a silent prayer and ask God to allow those people to receive me and allow me to receive those people. And when I do that, I feel he heard me, and I just go out there and do what I came to do.
All right. Well, there you go. Then now I know what to do next time I'm in the contest.
You know, when I first started, though, I didn't go to him. I went to drugs. I had to have me some marijuana or alcohol or something. And I remember one time I did a show many years ago. I couldn't find a weed man nowhere. I was like, oh my God, I can't find me.
And a comedy show that's unheard of. There's weed men everywhere in comedy shows.
I've been doing it over 30 years. So yeah. I need a real weed man. You know what I'm saying?
These
weed mans, now they go to the dispensaries and stuff. These other ones grew it themselves. But I couldn't find one nowhere, and I freaked out, and that messed up my whole set. But then when I learned to not depend on that kind of stuff, now I know how to do it without a DJ, people, money, music, whatever.
Right. Now, you've been sober for quite some time.
As far as the coke, it's been over 30 years. I haven't had that. It's been like 16 or 17 years, no marijuana. It's been 3 years and 10 months, no alcohol. And I told them I used to shoplift for a living. I never took nothing out of no one's house, but stealing is stealing. Don't get me wrong. But those stores, oh my God, they had to do a new inventory every other day because I hit them. If it wasn't glued down, sold down, chained down, or locked down, I took it. I remember one time it was a mannequin standing in the corner. She had an outfit on and I wanted it. But I asked the little lady, I said, can you tell me where that outfit is? She walked me all around the store looking for it. She said, I'm sorry, we don't have any more. So I lost her. You know, some of those clothes higher and taller than me. So I lost her and I made my way back over to that mannequin. And when I tell you I left that mannequin in that corner naked, I took the outfit and come to find out the size shoe she wore was my size. That night I was at the club dancing, turned up, had on the outfit and the shoes. But on today, I could truly say it's been over 20 years and I haven't put my hand on nothing that don't belongs to me.
Well, that serves them right for having a mannequin with your shoe size.
Right.
But what that first show that you did, the cookie put on, right? Was that the one where Bruce hit on you?
Yes. You know, back in
the day. You familiar with Bruce, Nicole?
No.
Very funny, very successful. He's one of the biggest comics, literally and figuratively. The guy's got to be like, I don't know, I think he's lost weight recently, but he was 400 pounds probably at this time.
Right. Anyway, he was the headliner, and a lot of times when they the headliner, they come in when the show is almost over. Mm-hmm. I'm not that kind of comedian. I got to go and watch and support the other comedians that's on the show, you know, and then you never know if something going to change and they need you to be in a different spot than what you was booked for or something. So I just kind of show up early. But anyway, that was over 20-some years ago, and you know, they think I'm a stallion now. I was really a stallion back then. I had my long fake ponytail. I had my little coochie cutters on. And she gave me my 5 minutes. And when I got done, I was sitting like in the front row. And then he came and it was his time to do his comedy. He looked at me. He said, hold up, y'all. Before I do my comedy, I got to ask little mama a question. He said, dog, little mama, how much? Like I was a hooker or something. I said, what? I just looked at him. I looked at the audience. I looked back at him. I said, shit, pay what you weigh. And he said, I didn't bring that much money with me.
That's great. Now, can you define for us white people what a coochie cutter is?
Coochie cutter is Daisy Dukes. Remember the Dukes?
Oh, okay. That's what I thought they were. That's what I thought it was.
Remember the Dukes of Hazzard when Daisy had
shorts on? It's all making sense now. Coochie cutter. I got it. I'm sorry. I got it. Now, here's the thing. Now, Nicole, Miss Arkansas was in the finals of Shaq, had a comedy competition.
Okay.
But she didn't meet Shaq.
Right. Okay.
Tell the story about that.
Well, they had the competition held at the Comedy Union out in LA first. And shout out to Mr. Gooch, and my prayers go out to him too, because he's been dealing with some sickness. But anyway, he told me that I won not only the audience vote, but also the judges' votes. So we did that. Then they moved the competition from there over to the Chinese Theater out in Hollywood.
Was that when they had the comedy club in the Chinese Theater?
Right.
Right. I played there a couple times.
And this is where the BS came in at. First of all, they want you to bring 1 million people. They want your people to buy all kinds of drinks.
Right.
Then you got to pay the $15, $20, $25 for parking and all of that. You know, so I had a lot of people to come out and support me, you know, because they really wanted to see me win. And then they were doing the little Kiki Shepherd, like on the Apollo. They was putting their hand over different comedians' head or whatever.
Right.
When they got to me, this is the honest God truth. When they got to me, that lady that worked with Shaq, she came running from out of nowhere. She say, "I'm sorry, you all. We already have our winner." And she gave it to a young lady that was a friend of hers. And the reason I knew that, because before the competition started, she had this young lady out in the hallway introducing her to people in the industry, taking pictures with her and doing all kind of things with her. And I feel, shouldn't nobody cheat. Right. But I feel if you gonna cheat, at least act like you don't know the person. You know, and I just thank God that me personally, don't want to go back to prison, because a lot of things that happened in my life, if I didn't know I have changed, I would have already been back, because some people push them buttons and make you just snap all the way out. And when they cheated, you know, I wanted to shoot up the whole place. That was the other side of me. But the other side, the good side, was like, just don't fool with those people no more.
By the way, Nicole, just for some context too, this was a converted movie theater that became a comedy club. It was not the big Chinese theater. It was one of the Chinese Theater Sixes. And I guess they weren't getting enough people to come to the movies. So basically, people are sitting in a movie theater. Right. You're in front of the movie screen doing comedy.
Yes.
Okay.
And you were probably excited. You're like, oh, if nothing else, I get to meet Shaq, and he wasn't even there.
He didn't even show up. They used his name to make all that money, because they had you under the impression that he was going to be there.
I don't think that club is around anymore.
Part about it, they didn't just do it in L.A. and in Hollywood. They did it in other states.
Right, because I know he had a few comedy specials, and he had a whole tour going on. But it was horrible to hear about that. But the other thing that's about you, and I don't know how you do it, but you're also the queen of the talk shows because you've been on a lot of talk shows. You were on, once again, I'll have to explain who this is, but MC Search had a talk show. MC Search was, Nicole, after the Beastie Boys, and before Vanilla Ice, there was a white rap group called Third Base.
Okay.
This guy had his hair like Kid and Play. It was up and over, but a Jufro. And he shaved Third Base in the back of his head. And this was like, this was cool in 1989 or whenever it was, 1990. Now he also hosted the White Rapper Show. And then they gave him a talk show like a, you know, like a regular Jerry Springer kind of show.
Right.
And Miss Arkansas got on the MC Search's show too hot. My mother is too hot to dress like that.
Right.
With her daughter.
Yes, my daughter took me on there and
this is her idea.
Too old to be hot or too, whatever it was. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, too old to dress.
Right. I walked out there. Them people got the clapping and hollering because I had on a little old short dress and I had on some of those shoes without the heel. Oh, baby, I was strutting out there.
I saw it. But, I rewinded it and I watched it again and again and again and again.
You know, since that show, my daughter have lost over 100 pounds.
I know. You posted that. That's great.
Yes.
But because it's weird. It's on YouTube, but it's only like the first Up until the first commercial, I didn't see the rest of the show where you guys interacted.
It's different cuts, because I don't know if he posted, but I kind of videoed it myself when I saw it on TV, and I posted all the different parts of my
Yeah, that's what I saw, yeah. Now, because here's the thing, because I didn't actually see I saw the preview, and then they showed you at the end going to commercial, so I didn't actually see the segments. Now, your daughter was the one that wrote into them for that?
Yeah, she told him, talking about I be wearing all these little clothes and my grandson be embarrassed to be with me and all this stuff. And I have 11 grandchildren. So I told him all of my grandchildren don't think like that. You know, a lot of them be like, oh, grandma, I can't wait to dress like you and this and that and that, even though I don't want them to dress like some of the stuff I be putting on. But, you know, all my grandchildren don't think alike. And she was on there, and then it was this one little white lady. She stood up. She say, I understand, and I know what you're talking about. And your mother should love you if you're 100 pound lighter, 100 pound heavier. I want to say, sit down somewhere. And it was funny. They had all the people that was going to come in and sit down. They had them lined up in the hallway when you get ready to leave. Right. And all of them was giving her a hug like I was Eva. They were hugging my daughter when we was passing through. They didn't give me no hug.
Well, this is the weird thing about the show, The Optics, because it's hosted by a white rapper. The entire audience are like old housefrows, old white housewives.
From Brooklyn.
All the guests are black on the stage. It's the weirdest thing. Now, you said that you had to make MC Search step off a bit. What happened? What did he say to you?
He was just telling me how I need to change and change the way I dress and all that. I told him, if you want me to change the way I dress, take me shopping. You the one got the money, you know. I told
him. Well, he's the guy that used to have the Jufro up here and shave third base in the back of his head. He's giving fashion advice.
I told him, you know, I said, I don't wear this kind of stuff when I go to church, so I know when to wear it or whatever. He didn't last for like 6 months.
Yeah, it didn't work.
I'm just glad I was on there.
Yeah, you're one of the few that actually was on there. I heard about it because some radio DJs were bagging on it once, and then I didn't hear about it until you posted that you were on the show. I'm like, oh, that's gotta be hilarious. But and then you were on another show you were on, and this is I guess this show lasted a little bit, and I remember watching it being very confused. Not the one that you were on, but this guy, his name was Bill Cunningham.
Oh my God.
This guy was like Maury Povich without the looks or personality. Like,
you know, they
who,
had
who the fuck
you
is this guy?
They be telling you don't say nothing, but oh well, they ain't gonna bring me back no way.
The show's canceled.
Right. The young man, what was his name? Whatever his name was, the tall young man that was on there, he had been watching me a while on Facebook and stuff, and he inboxed me. And he was like, Miss Arkansas, I'm writing this story, and I'd love for you to go on the Bill Cunningham show with me. And I figure, you know, anywhere you can get some publicity, do it, long as it ain't, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. But anyway, he wrote the story and he told me about it. And I was like, yes. So he's supposed to be my boyfriend and I supposed to cheat with his boss man.
Oh, okay. So they made it all up.
Yeah, they made it all. Oh, his name was Ken. That's right. He almost did some time in prison. He started contacting people, playing like he was a talent agent or something, contacting all these big football players and stuff. He was in the news and stuff.
Mm. Wow. So this guy's just a habitual liar.
Right.
By the way, Nicole, this Bill Cunningham, I actually did a little research. I just asked you.
Okay. Who he is.
And by the way, his show, when I saw it, it was the same crap like Maury does. It was paternity test. Same crap. Older guy. And then I go on Wikipedia to find out where did this guy come from? Because he just kind of came and went. He had a show on for like 2 or 3 years and just came and went. Mm-hmm. But
okay,
he's a conservative radio guy.
Wow.
that they gave him a Maury type talk show where he did paternity tests.
Right. Okay.
And apparently faked guest biographies and had little setup things. It's like I did some stuff for the Man Cow radio show. Okay. Where they told me a situation, and like I had one where they said, say you fed your cat to your dog, say you can't stop masturbating at work, and I would call in like I was a regular caller, like it was a real thing, but it wasn't. So I would just improvise with them. And then it took them a year to pay me. But anyway, enough of that. So, but I was wondering, because you seem to have this pipeline into these talk shows.
Well, a lot of time people will send you information and, you know, it's like playing Russian roulette. You keep shooting, and one of them gonna come out. So, or either you just have to keep sending them stuff. Somebody gonna accept you. And right. A lot of times it'd be a million no's before that yes eventually come.
Well, that's true. And luckily it wasn't the Jerry Springer show, because you might get in a fight and go back.
I had a friend tried to take me on that. I declined because, you know, I was like, no, you might hit me too hard and we'd be on that fight for real. So I declined that one.
Oh, okay, great. So you had your chance.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, And from what I understand, that's a goal of yours to have your own talk show.
Yes, I'm praying.
I think you'd be good at it.
I got it on my vision board.
I'd love to see it. I think you'd be great. Fuck, Sharon Osbourne's getting fired. You should take her place.
On my vision board have came to pass, so I'm just trusting this will too.
I mean, Sharon Osbourne's getting fired. You should take her place.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm glad about. I always found her annoying, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, so... But you want to talk about persistence. It's I'm sure you've had a vision board for some time. And on your vision board, you always wanted to play the Apollo, which is the classic comedy venue.
Yes, in Harlem, New York.
And you even tried to get on amateur nights. And then one day you're doing a show. And tell the story, because a special guest saw you.
And well,
I know this this has peaks and valleys,
right?
But let's start with the good.
I hosted my own comedy show at the Improv in Ontario, California.
Right.
And those that know me know I love changing clothes and wigs and all kinds of stuff when I host. And I had left one of my outfit in the green room, and I realized it, and I was like, but I had already made it home, and I was like, oh man. I get it Friday. I said, Monique gonna be there the weekend, the Academy Award winner, Monique. And I was like, ooh, I could get my outfit and give me a picture with Monique. I was excited about that. So when I went over there, she had a 7 o'clock and a 9 o'clock show that night. And the general manager gave me my little bag. He said, I'm sorry, Miss Arkansas, we can't let you in, it's sold out. And, you know, normally, regardless if it's sold out or not, I can go in there. But certain people that have a show, you can't just stand around in the Improv, and then you can't just go in no anybody green room. So I was able to respect that. So I was getting ready to leave, and a young lady stopped me. She said, excuse me, are you getting ready to buy a ticket? I said, no, they said they sold out. I guess I'll go to karaoke. She said, well, my sister couldn't make it here. God bless you. That lady gave me a $65 ticket. I say, I knew it wasn't nobody but God, because anybody else would have been like, I got a ticket you could buy, you know? So
this turned out to be like a Willy Wonka ticket.
Right. So that was Monique's 7 o'clock show, and she had a 9. So when I went in there, the general manager looking at me like, how did she get in here? You know, but he didn't say it. He just looked like. But anyway, when the show was once over, the line was like a Six Flag line. I mean, long. But me being me, I kind of talked to people. I cut till I made it up there to Monique. And all I said was, hi, Monique. I'm comedian Miss Arkansas. She said, baby, would you like to do some time on my next show? So I did 5 minutes on her 9 o'clock show. She said she had to come out the green room to see what the people were laughing at. So she, I told her, I said, well, let's get us a picture till the next time I see you. And then, you know, she came back a year later. I bought a ticket. I said, I ain't gonna be able to tell me that. So I went to see her and all I wanted was a picture, a selfie. And she was like, baby, come back tomorrow night and close out my show with me. So I did that. And when I got done, she said, come in the green room. She said, you are amazing. People need to see you. They need to know you. She said, I have a few tour days coming up and I'm going to take you on the road with me. That lady took me to Chicago, 4 sold out shows at the Improv in Chicago. When she had her residency out here in Las Vegas at the SLS Hotel and Casino, I did her first 13 shows. And once again, I had been trying to get in the Apollo in Harlem, New York, like 30 years on amateur night. And they act like I wasn't no one. But God used her 2 years ago to take me there. And oh my God, it was amazing. One of the biggest moments in my life. But, you know, that came to an end. You know how you could be so happy and then it's like something come from out of nowhere to try to take away that happiness or bring your high down or something.
Welcome to my life.
And that's what happened with me. First, before I got into my jokes, I was like, hold up, Apollo. Before I start telling my jokes, I got to give God some praises. I said, I've been trying to get in this place over 30 years on amateur night. I say, but the God I serve said, I ain't no amateur. So I'm here, Apollo, and them people went bananas.
Great.
So everything else I said and done, it was like smooth sailing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I got done, the young lady that was on the show with us, instead of her saying, give it up for Miss Arkansas one more time, y'all. You know how you normally do a comedian when they're done. She tried to tell a joke, right? She tried to tell a joke and ride off of my wave instead of giving it up for me. So she brought Monique out. Monique cursed them people out. Everybody know how she cursed. She cursed those people out and made them stand up for her and give her a standing ovation. Then she did her thing. And when she got done, her and the host was out on the stage and they were just talking. Oh, they were just talking. I started feeling like, you know, she wasn't gonna call me out or I wasn't a part of it or something. That's how I started feeling on the inside. Then all the people in the back where I was were like, dog, Miss Arkansas, she ain't gonna bring you back out. They started feeling some kind of way. So that let me know if they feeling some kind of way, the people in the audience got to be feeling some kind of way, you know, and they just showed me all this love. So right. When I tell y'all I walk back out there and those people act like I was Whitney Houston or somebody, they stood up, they screamed, they clapped, they hollered. Oh, my God. I've been looking on YouTube trying to find it. I know somebody videoed it. But right. She got so upset. She said, I didn't appreciate you not allowing me to bring you back out properly. I told her, you know, I said, Monique, you're not upset because I walked back out, because I walked out at the shows in Chicago, Las Vegas, Ontario. You didn't have a problem with it. I said, you had a problem because you had to cuss those people out and make them stand up. And all I did was walked out and they stood up. And when I told her that, she had her assistant to give me my check, and it was in an envelope. And if it didn't come in the mail, I'm going to open my envelope right then. Mm-hmm. So I opened it, and come to find out, she spelled my name wrong. I fixed that check, and I seen where her banking was, and I went to that bank, and I cashed it. And then one of my friends came from Maryland to support me. And I heard Monique tell her people, say, be in the lobby at 3:30. That's in the morning. And I told my friend, I said, you can lay here till checkout time. I say, I'm going to see what's going on. So I got my bags and I went down to the lobby and they was actually getting ready to leave. I asked this young lady, I said, excuse me, how I supposed to get back to the airport? She said, you don't have Uber or Lyft on your phone? I had to ask God to forgive me. I said, no, I ain't got Uber, Lyft, or no cash. Mm-hmm. I said, she paid me in a check. So the young lady got an Uber. They were rushing her, telling her to come on and stuff. And she was like, no, I'm not leaving till you get in that Uber. So then they finally left. Then when I got, everybody got home, I got home. She was like, you coming over to the club Thursday? I thought she wanted me to perform. I get over there, the show over. She said, Miss Arkansas, come in the green room. I go in there, it's me, her, and her security guard. What did you think about New York? I said, I had the time of my life. I say, your girl Corey, I almost cursed her out a few times. I said it like that. And I say, overall, it was amazing. She said, well, let me tell you what I thought. She said, Corey said that your friend opened her wine and poured herself some and somebody else some. I said, hold up. When you in VIP, don't that stuff belongs to everybody? Like that. And then she said that the young lady supposedly had a problem with my friend being in our green room. I was like, she couldn't have had a problem with her being in there. She asked her to help her with her nappy hair and them ugly outfits. You know, so she was asking my friend to help her. But my thing is, if she had a problem with her being in there, the right thing to do is, Miss Arkansas, can you ask her to leave out of here? Not right. Go to Monique and say something, you know. And then it was a table. You can't find this table in not one picture that was taken that night. But it was a table with a whole lot of stuff on it. It looked like the table needed to be cleaned off or removed. I had been walking around for a little while with a plate with three pieces of chicken, little chicken wings on it, because, you know, we were so busy. I was trying to find time to eat it. So I end up sitting it on that table. She said, and that's just like I was told that you put a plate on the table over there by where I was doing my meet and greet that had chicken in it. I said, Monique, first of all, you can't show me that picture, that plate and nail picture that you took. I said, whoever told you that, the right thing to do was say, Miss Arkansas, do you want this? Or if it's been there too long, throw it away. So it's like when they got to the airport while waiting on the plane to take off or whatever, all of them was in her ear talking.
Right. It's unfortunate because, you know, she did give you a break, and you got a lot of shows out of it. And what's great about it,
right,
is you got to play the Apollo as a professional.
And you know what, Mark, at first when all this took place and the way it went down, yes, I was upset the way it went down. And I said all kinds of mean things about her. But like I say, I'm a firm believer in God, and I know how he works in my life, if not nobody else's life. And I asked him to forgive me. And then I stopped going around saying bad things about her. What I just said wasn't bad, and it's the truth. But I just started going around, you know, when I do interviews, I just say how I thank her, you know, for allowing me to do those things with her. So I still wish her only the best, you know?
Right. And Monique, if you're watching or listening, please come on the Dark Mark Show. I'd love to interview you.
Yeah, come on, Monique, fan. So I can
apologize
in person.
We've had Academy Award nominees on this show, but never an Academy Award winner. So please, Monique. But what I was going to say is, what's great about it is you got to be there as a professional, and you got to see, and a lot of comics – on our level, a lot of times don't. I mean, you've done the sports arenas and other shows, but yeah. I mean, you get to see how the big shows are handled. And it looks like, you know, from what your story is, it sounds like she got a lot of misinformation.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, Dark Mark, a lot of time envy and jealousy can creep in. Mm-hmm. You know, because whether I have $1 or $1,000, you would never know when you see me dressed up and out having a good time or doing my comedy.
Hey, you're winning $1,000 in and of itself.
And a lot of people get jealous not knowing that's how you're supposed to entertain. You know, when you go to a show and you dressed all up, people feel like you are somebody, you know. But right. If you come looking like you just left a karaoke bar, now you got to work harder. But, you know, right. She told me when we was out here in Vegas, she was like, you know, I was doing my thing, like I say, 13 nights, and the people going bananas every night. So she asked me, she said, Miss Arkansas, baby, can you try merging your jokes together like a story? Because I do one-liners. She didn't know right. when I started over 30 years ago, that's what I did was stories. But I found out if you ain't got but a little time, you can get a lot in doing the one-liners. But I went out there and I did it like she asked me to do it. And she saw no matter how I do it, they still love me.
Right.
And well, that was a problem.
Yeah, what I'm saying, next time you play the Apollo, you'll be the headliner. So.
Yeah, because, man, I'd be on Instagram and so many people be asking me, too, when are you coming back to New York? So,
yeah. Now, I was going to ask, since Harlem is so gentrified now, was it all white people in the crowd, or was it the usual Apollo crowd?
No, to be honest, it was everybody.
Right.
You know, that what blew my mind, because normally when they show it on the TV or whatever, if Steve Harvey or somebody hosting, you might see one or two white people.
Right, that's but the weird thing, yeah.
This night, it was, they was all mixed in. It was a lot of white, black, Latino, and a few Asians, you know?
That's what I thought, because it's, like I say, Harlem is so gentrified now. Like Guns N' Roses played the Apollo. Amy Schumer right. did a special at the Apollo. So that's got to be weird. But boy, where does the time go? There's so many things I have to ask you about. And, you know, not just if that wig is the Ken doll wig, but let me see. But there's so many things I have to ask you about. Because you, in your act, you say you are not a cougar.
Yeah, I'm not a cougar because all of my children are grown and gone.
So but you like younger men.
I would feel right laying with someone that's 30 years old and have a 30-year-old child myself, you know? So really? I tell them I'm a Jaguar. I like them real old. I told them
you like old guys.
I told them I got so many old fellas, if I put them on a shelf, it'll look like I run an antique shop.
So your dating history is like Cocoon. It's like all old guys.
Yeah, you know why? I like them for real. That ain't no.
Right. No, that's great. Good for them. She just froze.
Not what you want. You they know what you need.
Is that
and
right?
And like the youngsters, we got to argue about who going to take the trash out.
Now, so you don't like teaching young men how to do it. You like the men that have already learned.
Yeah, I don't look it, but I done got old. I ain't got time to be trying to raise nobody. I feel that was their mother's job.
Right. Because I was going to, this is a new feature we have on the show. So I guess I'm going to segue into this. What is your fetish? What is something that you like sexually? It doesn't have to be X-rated, but, you know, even the type of man you're attracted to, or is there something that you like somebody to do? Like last time we did this, somebody said he likes curvy women, and you know, I like pale women, and you know, Nicole likes nerds and sexy nerds, right?
Well, my fetish is I love a man with a job. But I say like 25 years ago, I used to love getting on the ceiling fan and let them turn it on high and spin around, and they jump up there and do what they gotta do.
Wow.
I'm going to have to rewind that back. I don't even know.
But now I'm 52. I ain't getting up there.
Yeah. That's great. How many white men have you dated?
Two.
Okay.
But you know what? I don't have a racist bone in my body. I feel if they love me, I love them.
No, I know, because, you know.
And my sister, she been married to a white man since I can remember. And they are still together, happily married, my oldest sister. My brother, one of my brothers, he married to a white lady. They got kids and stuff, and they seem like they happy. So I done had a couple of them. And while we talking, if any of them listening or looking, I'm looking for one now to put some cream in my coffee.
If you're in Las Vegas and you want to hit the jackpot, little cream in Miss Arkansas's coffee. But you know what they say, Miss Arkansas, once you go white, you know you done it right.
No, they said once you go black, you don't go back. But no, you I've heard that too, but I say, you know what I say?
What do you say?
Once I go white, my credit get right.
That's true. That's true too. Sometimes.
Well, am I already
you haven't seen my credit score.
Am I already at a 7?
Yeah, well, there you go. There you go. But yeah, because you were doing, and I'm gonna let you go in just a second. But you were in Ontario for a long time. That's when I met you. Did your shows in the Improv. I did shows at other clubs. Now you've been in the LA. You were embedded in the LA scene, and you went to Las Vegas. And I know this last year is just like it didn't count. Although you did get your podcast going. What's the difference between LA comedy scene and the Vegas comedy scene for you?
Well, let me say the pandemic really didn't affect me. Because at the end of the day, like I told him, I had 2 boyfriends. One was essential and the other got Social Security. So if the one that was out working got sick and lost his job, the one with Social Security gonna still get his check on the 3rd. So it didn't affect me. But, you know, while the pandemic was going on, I still was blessed to be on pay-per-view 2 times and on Roku 1 time. You know, and then on the 13th of next month, I like saying if God say the same, because we don't know what's going to happen today, let alone tomorrow. Right. But if he say the same, April the 13th, I start my own comedy show out here in Las Vegas.
Well, that's great. Where's that going to be at?
It's going to be at a club called One Title or One. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to tag you in it on Phase One Level, please. I believe. One Level. But Jimmy J, he a real big promoter out here. He used to have me hosting his comedy night at a place called City Lights over on Sahara in Decatur years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And he called on me to host his comedy night at his new club. But I keep you posted. That way, if you're in the area, I make sure you perform.
I it looks like I'm going to be in Vegas around that time or May. So I definitely will drop in and say hi.
I know I have it till at least the second Tuesday in July because he's trying me out for the first 3 months.
That's great. That's great. The crowds still go bananas in Las Vegas. It doesn't matter where you go.
Well, you know, everybody talking about they doing the social distancing and this and that and that. I went to one place. They had the signs up. Social distancing, they had hand wipe, they had wear your mask and all of that. But when I got beyond that, it was so many people in there. They wasn't social distancing. A lot of them had their mask either in their hand or pocket or something. So I didn't stay in there no longer than 15 minutes because I felt if they didn't care about them, they didn't care about me. Oh, I love
it. Probably had a few of these too. The nose hanging over the mask. I always love it.
Yeah, looking like a penis sticking out the out of their drawers.
Exactly. I wasn't going to say it, but it's true.
Of them going by the rules, you know, because you know when it first started and they tried to not do what they say, they was getting big fines out here. So a lot of them trying to do right.
Right. No, I know. I was supposed to do a show last year in May and a slammy show, and they closed it and they fixed it. Anyway,
New location. I'm not sure where it is, but I know it's closer to the script. So he got a new location. I'm not sure if it's open yet, but reach out to him, and I'm sure he'll bring you out. And if I hear you out, I'm coming out.
Yeah. And one last question before we go. Because I've been immersed with Miss Arkansas all week researching you. On a podcast, you said that you were a pimp at one time. Is that true?
I guess you could call it a pimp. I done had a couple of guys didn't know each other. So can you call that being a pimp?
Well, you were pimping out guys.
Well, I had 2 boyfriends, and one lived in Missouri, the other one lived in California, and both of them had the same name. And then like one from St. Louis came to Vegas and I met him in Vegas and we, you know, went and did our thing and did shopping and all of that. And we end up, I saw some dice and one had my name on it and it had his name on it. So when I took it back home to California to where I was living with the other one, I said, baby, look what I got us. And he got all excited like I had bought them for me and him, not knowing this other man bought it for me and him.
Oh, okay. I was gonna ask you for some pimp advice to get my
pimp. No, man, I ain't no pimp. And I ain't
okay, all right.
Pimp, so
what's that?
I say I ain't no pimp and I ain't never been pimped.
All right, well that makes three of us. Anyway, Ms. Arkansas, Nicole, how much fun was this?
Oh, it was awesome. You're great. You have a lot of energy.
Nicole's usually not this quiet, but I'm just seeing her like listening to all these stories and just wrapped.
Yeah, there wasn't really a place that would have been appropriate to cut in. Yeah. So.
Well, do you have anything you would like to ask?
No.
You covered everything? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, your story.
Where do you get those earrings? The gold tooth. Tell me the story about the gold tooth and then we're going to go.
Oh my God. It's this man. May he rest in peace. I met him at a friend house, a young man I was dating, right? And then it was like these six older guys there. And I was like, ooh, eeny, meeny, mighty, mo. Which one of y'all going to get with this hoe? So it stopped on him. So I end up getting with this older man. And oh my God, I thought I was in heaven. He took care of me. And then I got the gold. It's supposed to be a D for Dan. But then when we broke up, I said it started for something else that started with a D. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, when I broke up with him, I thought I was, you remember Tina Turner when she was running from Ike from one hotel to the other one in the rain?
Right.
He said, first of all, he was driving down the highway and I had my rear hair down and he had it balled up in his hand and every once in a while he would reach over there and smack me because I was trying to lead him. And a part of me wanted to take that steering wheel and just run us into an 18-wheeler. But I was like, no, I'm going to get out this car. So the way I ended up getting out, I told him to get a hotel room. He said, you going to let me hold you? I said, yeah, just get the hotel room. He pulled the car up in front of the hotel door so he could kind of watch me and talk to the people. Man, when I tell you, it was raining too. I eased out that car. I took off running. I ran from one hotel to the other one. And it was a police over there. I jumped in the police car. And by me used to get in trouble all the time growing up, all the police knew me. So it wasn't like he could pull out a gun and shoot. He was like, Rud, what you doing? That's what the officer said. I said, I just got crying and telling him what was going on. But when they went over there, they didn't see him. So he ended up going to my sister's house. And I was living there. And I've always bought shoes. I don't know why I love so many shoes. But they was under the bed I was sleeping in. And my daughter said he came over there and he got a broom. And got all of my shoes out from under that bed, got all of my clothes. And he was giving my sister money and stuff too, so she didn't question it. He said, she going back to St. Louis with me. And I'm like, man, I would have to call the police. She done left her kids and her check come in the mall, in the mail, and she ain't here to get that. Something ain't right. But I went on back with him, and the only way I got away, like I say, I ran. And then I was a fool to get back with him to get all my things back. And I ended up going back down there. And then we got into a big argument. And I called one of my other sisters to come get me. And he didn't know they was on the way. She brought a couple of big guys with her and stuff. They got all my stuff. And he said, baby, you ain't gonna give me no kiss before you go? I said, yeah, kiss my behind, and I walked on out the door. And you know, years later he ended up passing away, so my prayers still go out to his children because they was crazy about me.
Right. Well, I'm sorry.
I've been through, but, you know, I actually got a book that's going is being published, that was actually being written as we speak.
I was going to say.
And the man that's publishing it for me said it's going to be out before I know it. So I've been wanting to write a book over 30 years, and now it's coming to pass.
Well, you definitely have the stories for it. And smile really big so everybody can see that gold teeth. That gold tooth. Look at that, Nicole.
Wow.
And it's real, too. I told him, you know, the stuff we going through, everybody else gold going to be at cash for gold, and I'll be the only one left with some gold.
And you got the shoes, you got the gold. Anyway, Miss Arkansas, it's such a pleasure. I can't wait to come out to Vegas and see you. But tell everybody where they can see you, where they can hear your podcast. And by the way, I did want to let you know, my mother watched the podcast on Facebook Live that we did on your show and was very impressed. She thought it was great. She's like, why don't you do shows like that more often? I'm like, I do a show like that every week. But she loved it. But tell everybody where they can get a hold of you. Yes.
Well, you can follow me over on Cash App. No, pretty much like you said, and Nicole said, if you Google me, you can find me, but you also gonna find like five white women named Miss Arkansas and Michael Jackson. Just know I'm the black lady with the gold tooth. You can find me over on IG, Miss Arkansas Comedian. Find me on TikTok. You know, I didn't even know what that was.
What are you TikToking?
Yeah, my grandson said, Grandma, you got TikTok? I said, boy, ain't that what that clock doing? He said, no, Grandma, that's an app. So he put TikTok on my phone, and they could just pretty much Google me or Bing me, and I'll pop up.
Right.
I didn't
are you dancing on TikTok? Are you lip syncing? What are you doing?
Something called Clubhouse.
Right. And are you dancing? Are you twerking? What are you doing on TikTok?
Quick. Huh?
Are you twerking? Are you dancing? What are you doing on TikTok?
No. I put a few of my comedy skits on there, and you know what? I say my audience must mainly be white people, because you know they love animals. Because I put a video of my dog on there, it get thousands of views.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I say I'm just going to let him do stuff and go viral.
Right.
But on that Clubhouse app, you got to have control, you know, of yourself. If not, you'll be on there every day, all day. I've been on there like 4 days, and the first time I went on there, it was nighttime when I checked in, and it was like noon when I checked out.
Right.
Because you from one room to the other room. I was like, this is too much for me. So I turned my notification on, and they keep sending me stuff. Everybody got a room going on, and I have to ignore it because I have other things to do, and I can't get too attached to that.
Right. Well, speaking of going viral, follow Nicole on social media, Nicole Six Books on Instagram. And if you need any social media presence, she's the one to do it.
So that's how you find you on IG, Nicole?
Yeah. If you Google me, my old social media comes up. So if you want to find current active social media, I haven't been on the old stuff for like 2 years. So the new stuff I'm working on is on Nicole Six Books. And what Mark is mentioning is the fact that I help people grow their Instagrams. So if anyone watching this wants help, my rates are really affordable.
I'm going to reach out to you. You know, I'm one side to the other side, so I'm trying to figure out what side of the town. There you go. It's different being on here actually talking to you and you saying that you do that, because it upsets me when people on there actually inbox me and talking about how they can get me more views.
That's not what I do.
No, that's a scam.
I block them every time and cuss them out of block them. Right. But I will follow you, and then you know, if you ain't talking about an arm and a leg,
she's tripled our Instagram followers in what, 5 months?
It's been less than that.
Yeah, okay. So definitely. So yeah, that I finally figured out your wig, Miss Arkansas. It's Fred from Scooby Doo. What's that?
3 months.
Oh wow.
There you go. Anyway, a friend from Scooby-Doo. That's
month four. You're right. Yes. Wow, that went by fast.
Yeah, it has gone by fast. It's a pandemic. And you stomped all over my Scooby-Doo joke. But anyway.
Sorry. Now give it to us. I didn't hear it. You said you something
ever see, about you ever see Scooby-Doo? You ever see Scooby-Doo Miss Arkansas?
Yes.
Fred, the blonde guy?
Yeah.
That's what you have on your head.
But you notice behind me is two drawings of me.
No, I've seen you. I've seen other wigs. You rock them all just as well.
The one on this side, somebody draw that one. Wait, that one in Memphis, Tennessee. How did my finger go? But that one on this side, someone drew it in New York City.
Right. My name is Arkansas. I can talk to you all night.
Before you let me go, I have at least 320 wigs, all color, size, shapes, everything. I didn't know why I was buying all these wigs, but then when this pandemic happened, I realized exactly why I was buying it, because I wasn't going to no beauty shops and beauty stores and all that. I could just wrap my little hair up and put a cap on it and put a wig on and look like I've been somewhere.
You were preparing for the pandemic even before it started.
Yes.
Everybody, I'm goth comedian on all social media. Miss Arkansas, we love you. Nicole, thank you for being on the show again. And everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Stay safe.
Bye. Absolutely.